All right, take your Bible, please. Find Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse number 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to look again at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, Heavenly Father, this is your service. And in this service, we desire to bring honor and glory unto thy holy name. You know every person. You know every need. And dear Holy Spirit of God, hedge us in. Fill this place with your power. Anoint, dear Lord. Allow your words to come easy. Help us to be totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit as our teacher and guide. If there is one here lost, a stranger to thy divine grace, I pray this might be the very hour that he or she might get acquainted with the Lord Jesus. Encourage the saints of God to give you the opportunity to clothe us with the power of God and to use us to be a blessing to someone in need. Bless this humble pastor, this precious work here. I pray that you'll give them many souls for their laboring. But I pray in all that we attempt to do in these days that we might desire from a humble spirit and heart, bring glory and praise to thy name. Thank you, dear Lord, for saving our hell-bound soul, writing our name in the precious Lamb of God with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've been listening to the messages. As a preacher's son, I reminisce back a lot of old-time preachers. going out in the byways and the highways and compelling people to come in. And I'm truly disturbed. I ask pastors, what about soul winning? How many people are coming to Christ where we're at? There's preachers that have made the statement to me, Brother Larry, we just don't do it anymore. I'm like Brother Shepherd. I've never heard Brother Harden preach that you didn't see his heart.
Yes, sir.
I've been where I'm at now 39 years.
Amen.
Just 39 years. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
I thank God for the faithful people that God's given me to pastor.
Amen.
But the same God that saved me and you is the same God that desires them to have the same burden we do. And I want to talk to you. I'll try to move very quickly. But I want to talk to you this morning. And I really believe, Brother Harden, you had the message. But in verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. We all know the gospel of death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. But in 36 he said, but when he saw the multitudes. I want to talk to you on this thought. Why can't we see what he saw? Is it like the devil has shot a venom into the minds of God's children? Even preachers that can't see, Brother Richardson, what Jesus saw. They always come back. Well, I'm not Jesus. But God saved us by His amazing grace.
Amen.
And He put a song in our mouth. He got us pointing in the right direction.
Amen.
And the old King James Bible that's still as powerful as it's always been.
Yes,
sir. Has commanded for us to be about the Father's business. So I ask you the question, very simply. What did he see? Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Where has that compassion gone, Brother Harden? I heard a pastor say to me the other day that their church, where they attend, they pay their pastor $750 a week, pay all their needs, and the church ain't seen one person saved in 10 years. Nobody come to the altar no more. Schedule meetings. Bring godly men in. The preachers preach their heart. Nothing ever transpires. I could call a preacher's name, but I'll not. He said we'll never see a moving of God until God's people get in a closet and stay till the power of God comes upon them.
Amen.
God called them.
Amen.
More people in our day than the day of Jesus.
Sure. Amen.
Every breath that you and I take already today, four people have already died and went out of eternity without God. Did God call us to prepare messages during a week? God's men are to have the privilege to pray and study and prepare to give God's people a message. But when the people don't respond, preachers get defeated. They get discouraged. What's the use anymore? A dear man of God that I love dearly was under such a burden strain that he asked his church to relieve him for 2 weeks, Brother Ballou. For 2 weeks, he visited around, wanted a motel room where no TV. Took his inspired word of God with him. Took a pencil, ink pen, notebook, read, prayed. At the end of the 2 weeks, he went home, went back to the pulpit, fighting a battle from the atmosphere.
Right.
People come in on Sunday morning, tarred physically. Work 5 days a week. Saturday do their business. Sunday come in the house of God. I'd rather preach to my people on Sunday night than ever on Sunday morning. I don't know about you. More freedom.
Yes, sir.
But you know what the Holy Spirit of God told him? You can't change them. But you keep yourself right.
Amen.
For I can make of you and I'll change them. I've never been a preacher just to run off from problems. Because my daddy before, little did I know, on a Friday we drove to a Bible college. He was 56 years old. Drove there on Friday and I enrolled in college. He gave me lectures all the way home. But I'm going to tell you something he told me I ain't never forgot. He said, you'll never find a perfect church. You'll never find a perfect people. But you better make sure that you're where God wants you. And you just buckle down and preach the Word of God and let God give the increase. People's priorities in life are secondary to the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Everything else is more important. And I know you may say to me, well, Brother Larry, you got a lot to learn. But I have questions I heard Dr. Percy Ray years ago when I went to Camp Zion, maybe the first, second time. I remember a statement he made. And he gave reverence to the sower. And he said, only one out of four did God give increase. The rest of it, no taking root. And he said he believed one out of four back then, Brother Blue, was only saved. More in hell than ever in heaven someday. I don't think it's right. You may think it is. I don't think it's right that men of God have to beg people. You shouldn't have to preach on being faithful to church. I'm serious about it. You shouldn't have to ask people to tithe. I asked you four things. He saw sheep needing a shepherd. He saw fields white unto harvest. But he saw very few laborers. Most of us pastors in here today, if we'd be honest about it, not many. Not many are engaged in the greatest work in all the world. The greatest work in all the world is telling people about Jesus and praying the Holy Ghost of God will bring Holy Ghost conviction. But how can God bring Holy Ghost conviction when He can't get men of God to get right? But we ain't going to admit it. If you pastored where I pastor, and I thank God for the people that I have, and I'm the first pastor where our pastor is sitting right there.
Amen.
Only two of them, when you went there, only left. But I'm going to tell you something, and I don't say that to be critical, but I believe in my heart that there has always been something missing. Because I believe that God's people are to be concerned about bringing people to Christ.
Amen.
Why did He come? I say, number one, Jesus gave a command for us to go out in the highways and the byways, win people to Christ, baptize them, teach them the Word of God. I've always heard as a boy growing up, I watched my dad pastor. He said, Larry, tell them about Jesus, win them to Christ, see they're baptized, teach them the Word of God, and allow them to go out and make new converts.
Amen.
Be honest about it with me. Hey, I don't care how long you've been preaching. I don't care where you went to school or whether you did or not. The Holy Spirit of God is supposed to be our teacher and we're supposed to be submitted because we've been bought with a great price.
Amen.
We wonder why the command of what? To go out and knock on doors. Tell people about Jesus. The greatest need in our families' lives, the greatest need in the church, is uplifting the name of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. The second greatest command of God is we are to be partners with Jesus. We're heirs of God, joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not?
Yes, we are.
I ask you the question this morning. Are you and Jesus yoked together?
Amen.
How many people today, they expect the pastor to do it? I thank God, and you may not know it, but it's true. God's still raising up young men to preach. Thank God. I believe that Brother Dale Massengale is blessed. I'm going to tell you, he's got some young preachers in that church that can flat preach. Brother Terry Norris has got something in his church that can flat preach. The greatest blessing that could ever come to a man of God is to have some young men under him grow up to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
I tell my people all the time, it may not mean a thing to you, but it bothers me. I believe Brother Hardin was as serious as any preacher I've ever heard a while ago in a pulpit. And I believe we ought to be serious minded. I'm not a joke teller. But I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest needs in this day, we go somewhere, us pastors go somewhere, we see the parking lots full. We see people come. You can go to an honest to God. I'm not for emotionalism. But I'll tell you what I'm for. I'm excited to see Jesus uplifted. I lie not. Go find it out. Brother Terry Norris is a God's man. I believe that. You go to Mayfield Creek. I'm not building up man. I'm not building up the people. I'm glorifying God. But you can go there. It don't matter. They just added on. You can go there. You better go an hour and a half, Brother Williamson, to get a seat. I'm telling you the honest God truth. Where God, you said it last night, Brother Blue, what God's done for one, He can do for another.
Amen.
But I'm going to ask you a question. And I know I live in the sticks. You know where I live. But I'm going to tell you something. I have sat in the pew and listened to some men of God, brother, that started a work in a cornfield. And they didn't hardly have nobody, Brother Blue. But I'm going to tell you one thing. God, because you know why? That one church that I'm talking about, they support over 300 missionaries.
Amen.
Brother Granville Courtney, that used to be known around in this area and all, in my area, Every month when they got done paying their missionaries, you know how much money they had left, Brother Grisham, in their treasure? Zero. But every missionary was paid every month. And I've heard him say it time after time, God honors His Word.
Amen.
But God can't honor His Word if we won't yoke up with Him. We expect Him to do it. He's the same God, Brother Hall. In the valley as He is on the mountain. You know what those disciples, Peter, James, and John, said on the mountain? It's been good for us to be here. When's the last time we said, I think I just need to walk with Jesus? What did He see? He saw people in need. Be honest about it this morning. Have we shut our bowels up? We're going to let somebody else do it.
Yep. Come on now.
We're commanded. God never told you to be a secret disciple.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. We're supposed to be proclaimers of truth.
That's right.
We're supposed to be ambassadors standing between man and hell.
Amen.
I've still got the same burden that I've had all these 39 years. I've always gave respect to you and Paul McWhorter. I'm a recipient of coming after y'all. You know what blesses my heart? I see it, you don't get to see it. But if you came, you could, but you don't get to see it because you're not down there. I'm 93-year-old deacon I have in the church. Be 94 years old in November if he lives. He's done fought prostate cancer and won over it. I went to his house last Monday. His feet so swelled with diabetes, ready to bust. Last Wednesday night, the whole church fell on their face before God Almighty And something happened during the night, Wednesday night to Thursday morning, when the nurse came to the house and his feet was, all the swelling was gone.
Amen.
But that ain't a big blessing. I thank God that God's all powerful. He's still the same God, and He's still working, and He wants to bless our lives. But I believe in my heart, and I may be off of it, but I believe in my heart that I believe God's looking somebody to partner up with Him.
Amen.
But you know what I see, brother? I go up there every morning. They tell me not to come till around 10 o'clock. When I go at 9 o'clock, I go in and I sit down on the couch and never say a word for 45 minutes. You know why? That gentleman that you might not thought listened, and that dear lady you might not thought listened, they're reading the Word of God. He don't even have a second grade education. They pray.
Amen.
They gave the land to build the work.
Amen.
They've never been ashamed of it. They bought me a double wide trailer to live in, but the land was on the church. And he said, we gave the land, and I still got some say. They went to the courthouse, and they got that land given to me and Renee. That if I die, my wife or have a place to live. Oh, Brother Larry, the church, don't kid yourself. I've seen pastors in my daddy's day that they died, one died 51 years old with a heart attack, and the next week they was loading her furniture up to get her out. I'm going to tell you something, that's exactly what's wrong with the church today. There's people in there today, they're not centered on Jesus. He gave His command to His church.
Yes,
I'm a church man.
Yes, sir.
He wants us to partner, yoke up with Him. Is that right or wrong? How can two walk together unless they agree?
Right.
Can I ask you, would you look at me for a minute? How much, be honest this morning, you know, God respects honesty, does He not?
Yes, He does.
God resists the proud. I want to ask you a question. You said, Brother Larry, you shouldn't be talking to me like that. I've been preaching 50 and 60 years. It don't matter. The same God saved me, saved you. And the same call God gave on my life, He gave on your life. And the same Holy Spirit of God that birthed me, quickened me, made me alive in Christ Jesus. I've been saved 56 years.
Amen.
And I'm 70 years of age.
Amen.
I know, Brother Sutton, where it happened.
Yep.
Just like you do.
Amen.
I've heard Brother Sutton over 40-something years tell about when he got saved. Amen. By the marvelous, matchless grace of God. You know what? Salvation changes the heart.
Yes, sir.
But it changes the mind also.
Amen.
Thirdly, not only has He given us a command, not only does He want us to partner with Him and walk with Him, let Him mold and fashion and make our lives into a piece of clay that's presentable. Is that right or wrong? Presentable. How many people in here this morning, nobody raising their hand, how many people honestly in your heart can you honestly say, I'm in love with Jesus?
Right. Amen.
People fight you in the pew, Brother Ballou, because by their expressions on their face. They're no more sold out to God than a duck. They're not, Brother Richardson. But I'm going to tell you something, it don't make it right.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, believe it or not, there's something wrong with it. I have a right to expect my people to live for God. I'm sorry, sometime on Monday morning, I don't sign my resignation. Daddy told me, you'll never find a perfect church. But why don't you just stand for what's right?
Amen.
I don't write out resignations. But I'll tell you what I do. I get on my face and I ask God to search my heart.
Yes, sir.
Brother Richard, I can't afford to. You may, I can't. Well, Brother Larry, I've been pastor where I'm at for all these years and they accept me like I am. Well, 39 years, pretty long time to be somewhere. You think? And one woman said to me that's in a wheelchair right now, I don't see how anybody can't like you, Brother Logston. The truth divides. Does it not? The truth divides. And then thirdly, I believe His command on our life is to be Christ-like.
Amen.
Can people honestly say about me, can they honestly say about you, they take note, we've been with Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Larry, you don't understand. Times have changed. I know that. I'm 70 years of age. I have a ministry trying to keep my own children right. I shouldn't have to do that. I got a son that's in full-time service. Thank God.
Amen.
Our daughter plays the piano. And if anybody I preach hard to, I preach hard to her and her. And my son-in-law, I couldn't ask for a better son-in-law. But I got another son-in-law that got out in sin. And praise be to God, he got back. But he ain't got back. He's on the pew, that's all. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
That's right.
I've had preachers, some of the best men of God in this country, come in there and preach. And I sit and wonder, is he really saved?
Right.
How can he stand under preaching that we have there at New Testament Baptist Church and it not move him?
Right.
Then I'm going to turn the coin over on the other side. How can we have great preaching here this week? Because it's great preaching, because it's about Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Blue last night, Brother Sutton last night, exalted Christ.
Yes, sir.
You know what the devil told me one time? When I was a young preacher boy, you know what they told me? If you want to pattern your life, Brother Sutton, pattern your life after three preachers that was well known in the country. Jack Hawes, Lee Robinson, and Tom Malone. Get all the books you can get on them. Get all the tapes you can get on them. Learn from them. My dad, just an old bald-headed preacher, died at 56 years of age of a massive heart attack on Sunday night after church. Never had sixth grade education because there was 15 kids in the family and my grandfather told him to get out in the field and work like a dog. My dad never had the blessings that I've had on my life. The men of God, God's let me sit under. The helps that I've had. That's a blessing. It may not be your libraries, everything you got. I heard somebody said Billy Goosby had one of the biggest libraries. Brother Sutton's probably been in there. I had never been in it. I've been in the Roman Baptist Church. But they said he's got one of the best libraries in the world. I asked him about it one day and he said, Brother Larry, everything that I have in my library, God give it.
Amen.
He put no credit in it. God gave it to him.
Right.
I ask you this morning. We can't worry about no church down yonder. This is the conference we're in.
Right.
God's ordained it.
Yes,
like Brother Sutton always said, everything's on God's time.
Yes, sir.
This is the time. Today could be the greatest day in all of our lives. Drop our dirty, filthy pride and be honest in our heart. Am I really where I need to be with God?
Amen.
Pastors, wouldn't you like to go to the pulpit on Sunday morning this coming next Lord's Day and get up and see an excitement? See afar in the house of God. See, the Bible says it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house.
Amen.
When's it going to be? I'll tell you when it'll be. When we start obeying God's command, when we start yoking up with Jesus, and when we start getting a Christ-like spirit like the Lord Jesus Christ, you had her on the head, brother. He was moved with compassion.
Amen.
What does that really mean about, oh, brother, that don't mean nothing. It means a lot.
Yes, sir.
And then last of all, what did he see? He saw something we need to see. Well, brother, I see it. Do we really?
Right.
You know what he saw? He saw man going to a devil's hell. And he's at the right hand of the Heavenly Father in this hour. Thank God he's my advocate with the Father.
Amen.
But thank God he once was my mediator between God and man.
Amen.
He heard my plea 56 years ago.
Amen.
Hell-bound, hell-deserving young boy. But Jesus came my way. But I'm going to ask you, what did he come for? He saw man's need. I'm going to ask you, fourthly, do you really at all see your responsibility to man?
Amen.
We are our brother's keeper.
Yes, sir.
How many, you know what Ronnie Simpson, that message he's preached to all of this country. Do you really want to go to heaven? Anybody ever heard it?
Yes.
I know Brother Blue has. I know Brother Sutton has. Do you really want to go to heaven? Well, how many people will ever be in heaven because of us?
Right.
Let the preacher do it. Let the missionary do it. How many of you pastors, I know it's happened. A lot of you pastors have went somewhere and preached. And after the service, somebody came up to you, like it's already been said, and said, you told me about Jesus
right.
when I was a young lad. The greatest need is what this mission conference is all about. Souls. What did he see? He saw a world going to hell.
Yes, sir, he did.
God chose us. Why, preacher? He loves us. He likes us. And he desires to use us.
Amen.
Father, this is your message. Dear Holy Spirit of God, you do what man can't do. Someone here lost? Show them the need of Jesus this morning. Encourage our hearts as believers, to look at ourselves this morning. Where really am I with God? What am I doing to tell my people about the greatest news in all the world?